Thank you. So good morning. Today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Gimel, page 113. Top of the Amud, we're still dealing with the topic of paying a worker quickly. The Torah says that if a man was hired for the day, pay him the following night. If he was hired for the night, pay him the following day. And there are prohibitions. Lo Sava Olav HaShamesh. There is a prohibition of Bal Talin. There are obligations to make sure that a worker gets paid right away. So finally, because of that, the Gemara got into a discussion about what the Mishnah says, that if there's an argument between the worker and the employer, whether he was paid at all. The employer says, I paid. The worker says, I wasn't paid. So the Mishnah says, if it's during the time frame when the worker should be getting paid, namely, let's say, the night that followed his day of work, so we tell the worker, swear and we'll believe you. So Gemara says, well, why do we let the worker swear? Normally an oath is incumbent on the man against whom there is a claim, and he swears to become exempt. So the Gemara said, that's right, that's normally the law, but the rabbis flipped it. They took away the oath from the man who normally is to swear. They placed the oath upon the worker, on the hired man, because we assume that the man who hired is so busy with all of his workers, he forgets. He forgot if he paid. But the Gemara says, if that's the case, then why, if he makes the claim 2 weeks after when it was due, do we say that he has to bring a proof to his claim? And we don't say he can just swear and collect. The Gemara says, well, there we have a chazaka that people normally fulfill the law to avoid the prohibition. And therefore, the employer is the one who's most credible, and the employee would have to bring a real proof to prove the employer wrong. So that's what the Gemara says, right? We can start again on the bottom of Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, just to review it.
Don't wait to bring the claim if you're a worker.
That's true. That's true. So the Gemara asked, right, at the last three lines, Alamatnan, why did we learn in the Mishnah, Avar Zmano Eino Nishba V'Notel, that if the time passed, then the employee cannot just swear and collect, he has to bring a proof? So the Gemara says, that's because Chazak ain Balabayis over Mishum Bal Talin. There's a presumption that a Balabayis is going to pay on time, the employer paid on time, when he claims he paid on time, that's credible, because he probably is not going to violate the law of Bal Talin. Ivo Amarta Balabayis Tarbi Polavu, but you said that a Balabayis is very preoccupied with all of his workers, and he forgets. Well, Hani Mili Mikamid Lumtayis Man Chiyuve. He may have forgotten before the time of the obligation arrived. But once the time of the obligation arrives, Rami Anafshe, and then he puts it on his head, Umidkar, and he reminds himself, I need to pay because I don't want to violate the Torah's law of Bal Talin. So the Gemara says, well, the same way you're saying that he doesn't want to violate Bal Talin. That's why he's credible when he says he paid. But the hired man also doesn't want to violate a different prohibition. Don't steal. So why do we say that maybe he's wrong? We should assume he's right. That if he's saying he wasn't paid, he probably wasn't paid. Because to think that he wasn't paid and he's asking to be paid a second time, that means we're assuming that he's stealing. So Gemara says, no. Hasam, when we talk about the employer, Trei Chazaki, he has two arguments supporting him. Hacha, whereas the employee, Chada Chazak, only has a single argument. Gabi Balabayas, in regards to the employer, Ikotre Chazaki, there are two claims. Chada number one, Dein Balabayas over Mishum Bal Talin. When he claims 2 weeks after it came due that he had already paid. Number one, that's likely because we know people don't want to violate the prohibition of Bal Talin. But Chada, and secondly, Dein Sachir Masha Scharo. The claim of the employee that he didn't get paid is very uncredible. But what employee is going to wait to get paid? Every employee wants to get paid right away. It's not normal for an employee to wait. It's just not normal. Why would an employee leave his wages in the hands of somebody else? If he was owed money, he's going to go and demand his money. So therefore, ein sachir masha scharo. But over here, chada chazaka. Over here, all we have is a single chazaka that the employee probably didn't steal. Okay? But against the claim that he probably didn't steal, we have two other claims undermining his claim. He claims he wasn't paid. That's not credible. Most employees would demand payment right away. He claims he wasn't paid. It's not credible because most employers would pay right away. They don't want to violate a prohibition. So therefore, the employer is more credible. Therefore, we don't allow the employee, when he makes a demand for payment weeks later, to just swear and collect. We say his claim is not credible relative to the claim of the employer, which is more credible. And he has to bring a proof to be able to collect from the employer.
I don't understand the chazaka here. What is it?
Most people are very careful with Baal Talin.
What happens if there's multiple claims for multiple workers for the same employee?
The same employer, you mean? I don't think it would change it. We would still assume that most... No, we would still assume that most employers pay. He probably paid. They'd have to claim it right away. If they claim it right away, they could swear and collect.
So the employer doesn't have to bring any witnesses?
No, he's holding on to the money. He's the muhzik on the money.
The laborer is the one that...
The laborer will have to bring witnesses if the laborer makes a claim weeks after the obligation started. Then the Mishnah said, "Im yesh edim shetavo," if there were witnesses that the employee made a claim, "areza nishba venotel," and even after the time, the employee can just swear and collect. I asks the Gemara, "What do you mean if there are witnesses that he made a claim?" "Vakatavo lekaman," we find him; he's making a claim in front of us. Amar Rav Asi, Rav Asi explained what it means like this: if there are witnesses, shetavo bismano, that the employee claimed at the right time, and even though now it's 2 weeks after the time, he swears and he collects. And it's the end of the Gemara says, who cares that there was witnesses that he claimed at the right time? Dimul abasar achi parra. Maybe after the claim, the employer paid him. Amar Abaye, Abaye answered, if there are witnesses, shetavo kol zmano, uliolam. If there are witnesses that during, let's say, he worked at night, so he's supposed to get paid the next day, there are witnesses that whole next day he was asking the employer for the wage and the employer didn't give it. So Amar Avchama bar Ukva. So ask the Gemara l'olam. So does he always have this right to, you know, if, as long as he made a claim right away, so then he has a right for years and years to come and say, you owe me and swear and collect? So Rav Chama Baruch says he has the next day. K'neged osu ayom shel tviyah. He has another 24 hours. In other words, the Mishnah says that if the employee makes the claim right away, he can swear and collect it. He doesn't have to bring proof. Just has to swear and he can collect. The Mishnah is then adding, and if he made the claim right away and the employer didn't pay him right away, he has another day to swear and collect. But after that extra day, then already we'll go back to the other approach, which is that the employer has two claims. Number one, I did pay it because I didn't want to violate Baal Talin. Number two, I paid it because you didn't wait for it. Whereas he only has one claim, I'm not a thief, I'm not making a dual claim, and the employer is more credible, and therefore he has to bring proof, he has to bring witnesses against the employer.
Right, and so like, if the guy complains for 3 days straight, like I ask, and then the fourth day, I say, I'm not going to stop wasting my time.
He just has the fourth day.
But then like the fifth day, I can no longer...
That's it, the fifth day, he's done.
So what happened to the witnesses, Rabbi? You said that he doesn't have to bring witnesses, just swears, that's it?
The employee just needs to swear as long as he makes the claim soon. As time goes on, though, he's going to need witnesses.
Okay, uh-huh.
Then we switch back to the normal law, which is the employer is the muhzak, and there are all sorts of arguments, you know, supporting his case. And then there is no need to pay. So now the Mishnayos deal with a new topic. And that's the topic of a lender collecting a collateral. The Torah says that when a person collects a collateral, he should stand outside of the home that he's seizing the collateral from and let the owner of the collateral bring the collateral out. That's what the Torah says. In addition, the Torah says that there are limitations in terms of what could be taken as collateral. Torah says that if the man is a poor man and he needs the items, The items have to be returned to him for his usage, even though they were taken as collateral. And the Torah says that the lender is not allowed to take the collateral of a widow. He's not allowed to take the millstones of an individual who needs it for his parnasa. So that's going to be the topic now of the next sugya. Says the Mishnah, Hamal ves chavero, if somebody lends to his friend, and it's a 30-day loan, and the friend has not paid him back, lo yamashkenenu. So he, the lender, is not allowed to go and to seize the collateral. Ela bebezdin, rather, he has to go to Bezdin, and apparently Bezdin can go and seize the collateral. Lo yikanis lebeso, lito mashkono, and he can't go into the house to go seize the collateral. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, b'chutz tamot, you have to stand outside. And the pasuk continues, isha sheratano shebo, and the man whom you have a loan against, yotzi elecha sa'avu tachutza, he will bring the collateral item to you outside.
Even it's a bad deal, not going to bed, 100%, the semalacha. You're not allowed to go to get something.
To take the collateral.
Doesn't he get the collateral at the time of the loan and not at the time
no.
of payment?
No, no, no. He, at the time of the loan, he didn't get it.
I mean, is it natural not to get it?
That's right. So you give him a loan, and then 30 days later, he hasn't paid. So you say, hey, you owe me the money. It's a 30-day loan. Where's the money? He says, I don't have any cash. So you can't go into the house and grab his shirt. You go to the court, and the court will grab it. Now it sounds like even the court doesn't go into the house. The court just stands outside. That's probably the way to read the Mishnah. We'll see. The Gemara has a discussion.
So where is the collateral, Rabbi?
What's that?
Where is the collateral?
It's on paper.
The court will go get it.
So the court is allowed to go inside the house?
We'll see that in a second. But the court will get it from him. How you look now, even when there is a collection of a collateral, as we saw, as I mentioned, there's a mitzvah not to take everything away from him. So hayu lo shnei kelim. Let's say this borrower is a poor man. He only has two utensils. And he needs both of them. So no tel echad. So the lender can take one. The one that he doesn't need right now. Umaniach echad. And he has to leave to the borrower the one that he needs now. What's the example? Let's say the man is a poor man. He has a mattress, and he has a plow. So the lender can have the court take the plow and mattress as collateral, but then right away, if it's during the day, they have to return the plow, and then once the night comes, they have to return the mattress and then take the plow again. Mazir is hakar b'layla, is to return the mattress for the night and hold on to the plow. And return the plow during the day and then hold on to the mattress. All right, that's the law of collateral. Now, within that, there's an exception. It may, if the borrower dies, then you don't have to return the collateral to those who inherit from the borrower. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, even to the borrower, you don't need to return Elad Shloshim Yom, only for the first 30 days of when seizing it. But after 30 days, Shloshim Yom, but after 30 days, Ulahalan Anan, Mochran Bebezdin, you can sell it through the court to turn it into cash to repay the loan that you made to him. Yeah, question.
Are you allowed to charge interest?
No interest. No interest.
So it's like a gift at that point. What's the loan? You give someone a gift and you take collateral, you hope to get your money back. Right?
Loans are like gifts, yeah. We'll help each other out. We help out other Jews.
So in the morning he brings back the plow. And at night time
then he takes the mattress. Yeah. Then at night he comes back with the mattress and he takes back the plow. He holds the plow during the night when the guy doesn't need it anyway. Right. And he holds the mattress during the day when the guy doesn't need it anyway.
According
to Rav Shimon Gamliel, only for 30 days.
Obviously, the value of the pillow or the mattress is more than the loan.
It's less or equal to the loan.
It's collateral.
Loan.
not to value above 100%.
So in the morning, bring it in. How long does it take? How many days you have to do this rabbi back and forth?
According to the Chacham, it sounds you do it, you know, forever. According to Shimon Gamliel, only 30 days. After that, you sell it off and you take the money. According to the Chacham, as long as the lender is alive. Sorry, as long as the borrower is alive.
A lot of
schlepping. Thank God. Says the Gemara Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, Shliach Bezdin, if the court sends someone to go seize collateral, Manatach Netuchi in, if he meets the borrower on the street, he can separate the borrower from his objects on the street. Avol Mashkuni, but to go into the borrower's house and to seize collateral, even the court officer can't. Lo. What do you mean? The court officer can't go into the house? What's not believable? Think about our Mishnah. Our Mishnah begins with Hamal v'schaveiro. If a person lends to his friend, lo yamashkinenu. The lender cannot seize the collateral by going into the house. Rather, the lender has to go to Bezdin, and Bezdin will go into the house. Michlal implying to be Bezdin v'mashkinen, that the court, though, is allowed to go into the house to seize collateral. Shmuel will tell you, Ema, the way I'll read the Mishnah is, no, lo yinatcheihu, lo yinatcheinu. What it means is that the lender cannot separate the borrower from his stuff in the market. El bebezdin. Only through Bezdin can they separate the borrower from his stuff in the market. But even Bezdin can only do it in the market. Bezdin can't go into the house to seize things from him. So Gemara says, Achinami Mistabra, that's really the way to read the Mishnah. Like Shmuel, that even the court officer can't walk into the house of the lender to seize things. The Ketani Sefer, because it says there in the end of the Mishnah, Lo yikanes lebeso lito mashkono. He can't go into the house to take the collateral. Now money, who can't go into the house? Ilim abalchov, if you say it's the man who lent the money, can't go into the house of the borrower to collect. Meiresha shamet mina. We said that already in the first line. The first line said, Hamal v'eschaveiro lo yimashkenenu. The one who lends to his friend is not to go seize a collateral. What does it mean? He can't go into the house to seize a collateral. And Elav, so must be the point is like this. The way to read the Mishnah is saying, the man who lends to his friend can't go into his friend's house to seize a collateral. He can go to Bezdin. And then it goes on. And even Bezdin can't go into the house to seize the collateral. Elav shliach Bezdin, like Shmuel. Somewhere I said, no, the Mishnah may not be such a proof. Shmuel is of this opinion. Shmuel holds that the court officer also cannot go into the house of the borrower to seize the collateral. But imi shemhalo iria, this may not be a proof to Shmuel. Because you can read the Mishnah like this. Hachi karma, this is what the Mishnah is saying. Hamal ves chaveiro, if a person lends to his friend, lo yamashkenenu elo bebezdin. He should not seize the collateral himself. Rather, he goes to the court. The court could seize the collateral even from his house. Even from the house. Then the Mishnah is going on. Ubalcho. But the lender, Afilu Natuchi Namilo, the lender, he can't even separate the borrower from an object out in the market. To keep him away from possibly entering the house to seize the collateral. So to keep him from entering the house to seize the collateral, he can't even seize an object in the market from the borrower. The court, they control themselves better. So they can be allowed to seize objects in the market from the borrower. But they are not allowed to go into the house. So that could be the way you read the Mishnah. And, the court could seize, the court could seize in the market and could go into the house. The lender can't seize from the market and he can't go into the house. That could be the way to read the Mishnah. So the Mishnah is not necessarily approved to Shmuel, but nevertheless, this is the view of Shmuel. Shmuel's view is, not only can't the lender go into the house, Shmuel holds that the court officer also cannot go into the house to take the collateral.
Rabbi, what kind of a collateral is that is still sitting in the borrower's house?
That's the definition of collateral.
Collateral is if the lender has access to it, not
there's an object.
The borrower.
Oh, there's an object that has so value.
The guy borrowed money from his friend and he says, okay, this is your collateral.
No, he didn't say it. No. He borrowed money, said, I owe you. You
right.
could collect from even the shirt on my back.
Oh.
30 days come, I come to him and say, where's the money? I don't have any cash.
So
the business didn't work out.
Collateral means position. Whatever is position.
Yeah, it's the asset to take. Every loan is asset-backed lending.
Every loan is recourse.
Every loan is to now go for the assets.
But it's not specified beforehand. My car is my
Yeah, that's called aputiki.
Because, here you give an example of pillow and a mattress. So
right.
This is specifically says pillow and mattress.
No, he didn't say that. That's all he has. These are the things that he has.
That's all he has. The two items. Oh, I see. Okay.
Press himself.
But the mechanism to collect is tricky. The mechanism. How does he get? He can't get in the street. He can't go in his house. He can't stand on his yard. How does he get?
He goes to the court.
You've got to treat him with dignity.
Right? Exactly. You have to treat people with dignity.
You can't embarrass him.
Probably.
Oh, I'm coming to take the mattress.
You can't embarrass him in the family.
No, Nasi.
Don't borrow money from Baruch. I think that's
the only rent, but...
Masiv Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef challenged the view of Shmuel that even the court officer can't enter the home of the borrower. The pasuk says, "Lo yachvol rechayim varachav." He cannot seize the millstones from the borrower. Hadvar machayim chavol. That implies that a lender could take other objects. Then we have another pasuk: "Lo sachvol beged almana." You cannot seize the garment of a widow. It sounds like other people's garments you could seize. So now, man, who's the one doing the seizing? E name of Balchov, if it's the lender. Haksiv lo savo el beisol avod avoto. But the Torah says don't go into his home to seize an object. El alav shliach bezdin. So what is it referring to? It must be it's referring to the court officer can't do the seizing. So that's against. So according to Shmuel, court officer can't seize anything from the house. But here, it's saying he can't seize millstones. He can't seize the widow's garment, implying other things he could seize. So the Gemara says, Tir Gemara of Papa, Rebbe Rav Nachman, Kamed Rav Yosef, Sir Rav Papa, the son of Rav Nachman, answered in front of Rav Yosef. Amri, the others say it was Rav Papa, the son of Rav Yosef himself, said it to Rav Yosef. Lola, really the pasuk is bebalchov. It's talking about the lender can't seize these things. So you say the lender can't seize millstones. The lender can't seize the garment of a widow. The lender can't walk into the house at all. So that's true. Lavarol of bishnei lavin. It's to say that the lender has two prohibitions if he takes these objects. Tashma, coming here, proof. Again, another challenge to Shmuel's law. The Braisa says, mimashma shenamer b'chutz tamod. Once the pasuk says, stand outside. So obviously then the man who you are making a claim against is going to bring the object out. The Torah says stand outside and the man will bring out the object. So why do you have to say matam alomer va'ish and the man will bring out the object? So the Gemara says, it says the man, l'rabo shliach bezdin, it's to include the emissary of the court. The emissary of the court is the man who will bring out the object. So what does that mean? My love, what does it mean? The emissary of the court brings out the object. It means that Shliach Bezdin is Kalove. It means that the emissary of the court is like the borrower. The borrower brings out the object from his own house, and the court man brings out the object from the man's house. That's against Shmuel. It sees that the court officer can go into the house. So Gemara says, "Lo, that's not what it means." The way to read the Pasuk is Shliach Bezdin Kemalve. The way to read the Pasuk is the lender cannot go into the house, and The court officer too can't go in to the house. So the way to do the puzzle is like this: Bachutz ta'amod, you stand outside. Ata, you. So till now we said we were stopping there. Don't stop there. Bachutz ta'amod ata v'ha'ish, you stand outside. You and the man. You and the court officer. And then asher ata noshevo, the one who you are making a claim against, namely the borrower, Yotzi, will bring things to you. But the court officer, he's like you, he cannot go into the house according to Shmuel. Another challenge against Shmuel. Tashma coming here from the following Braisa. The Pasuk says, Im chavol tachmol salmasriyecha. If you will seize the garment of your friend, so the end of the pasuk is till the sun sets, bring it back to him. Right? Ad bo hashemesh tivyenu lo, give it back to him before the sun sets.
But Rabbi, sorry, if he's in default, right?
Is correct.
When that happens,
yeah.
What's the purpose of taking the garment and then returning it?
That's psychological pressure.
Pressure.
Yeah.
So, Rabbi, how long the best?
According to Shimon Gamliel, it's also that after 30. After according to Shimon Gamliel, it's also that after 30 days, you'll be able to sell it off. This only goes on for 30 days.
Why have this back and forth if you know you can't do anything with it?
You can't do anything because he needs it.
But it's only a person who has a limitation.
It's a busha to the guy.
But no, anything.
So at what point?
Anything he needs. What he needs.
Right, I'm saying to someone else, extra possessions.
Extra possessions you could take. That's correct.
At what point did you sell it?
According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, 30 days. That's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel.
You can't take a movie.
Let's see. I don't know. I didn't look it up. I'm sure it's out.
So the court appointee and the lender stay outside of the house.
According to Shmuel.
That's right. The borrower go bring from his house outside and give. How long they have to stay outside?
I don't know. Maybe the borrower's in the bathroom. I don't call it nature.
Wait for your bell. Forty-nine years.
Okay, again, the top of Kufya Gimel Amud Beis. We're dealing with the law of Shmuel. Shmuel holds that the court officer too can't go into the house of the borrower. Tashma, coming here, proof. We learned im chavol tachbol salmasriyecha. If you will seize the object of your friend, the Torah says you have to give it back before the night. Says the brisa b'shliach bezdin hakasav medaber. It's talking about the court officer. Ata omer b'shliach bezdin hakasav medaber. You're telling me it's the court officer. Einu elo b'bal chov. Maybe it is the lender. Kishoma, since the pasuk says lo savol beisol avod avoto, don't go into his home to take an object. Hari balchov amur. So that addressed the lender. The lender can't go into the house. Amani mekayim chavol tachbol salmasriyecha. So what are we fulfilling with the pasuk? If there will be a taking of the garment, shliach bezdin akasam medaber. That pasuk is referring to a shliach bezdin. So you see that it's clear that the shliach bez and the court officer can go in. That's exactly the point of the pasuk. So Gemara says, Shmuel will tell you Tanayi. Shmuel will agree. It's a machlokes amongst the Tanayim whether the court officer can go in. The Tanayim will enter a braisa. Shliach bezdin sheba lemashkeno. If the court officer comes to seize the collateral, or seize the security, even the shliach bezdin can't go in; he has to stand outside. Hello, and the borrower motzi lo mashkon brings out the object. That's what the pasuk says: you will stand outside, and the man, namely the court officer, also will stand outside. So that's like Shmuel. But Tanidah, we have another brisa: balchov shebal mashkeno. If a lender is coming to collect, lo yikanes lebeso lemashkeno, the lender can't go into the house to collect. Elomim bachutz v'alo nichnas emoti lo mashkono. Rather, the lender stands outside and the man brings out the object. Shenamar bachutz tamud, you will stand outside. But shliach bezdin, but the representative of the court shebal lemashkeno, harizeh nichnas lebeso lemashkeno, he can go into the house and collect against the view of Shmuel.
So at the end of the day, can he go in or no? Not,
oh, who do we paskin like?
It's a lot of in and out. I get confused over
it. We paskin like Shmuel, he cannot go in.
Really? Cannot.
So we don't know
is
who
that the halakha?
That's really the halakha is that he cannot go in.
Oh, the agent. The agent.
The agent cannot go in.
No.
So the issue is
sure. Each means than your agent has to stay
out. Israel, Rabbi, the poskim differently, they go take televisia, which was a joke one time. Not a joke, was really, I'm sorry, story. That I'm sorry, the husband didn't want to see TV. The wife wanted. The Bemishkun. He said, Baruch Hashem, take another one. It's in the other
place. Take her too.
Lo yimashkinenu, however, when taking an object, you can't take dvarim she'osin b'hen ochel nefesh, those things that are needed to create food. What else do you have to leave? V'no sein mito mita. You have to leave two beds, umatza, and a mattress of felt. La'ashir, if the borrower is a wealthy man. And if the borrower is a poor man, you leave him mito mita, two beds, umapets, and a mattress of reeds, la'ani. Now, the Torah says you have to leave him his basics. Lo, you have to leave for him the basics. Avalol ishto, you don't have to leave the basics for his wife. Avalol abanavalubnosa, you don't have to leave the basics for his sons or daughters. Now, when we talk about taking a collateral, the same way we are going to leave the basics to enable him to keep living to a man who owes money, the same would be if he owed value to Hektesh. Let's say he gave the promise of Erech. He said Erech is set values in Parshas Fukosai based on the age of the person. So the highest is 50 shekel. Let's say a young, healthy man says, Erech Yalai, my value is owed from me to Hektesh. And then Hektesh comes, the Gizbar comes and says, okay, hand over what you promised. He says, I don't have any cash. So Hektesh will take his objects, but leave him with enough stuff to live. So the Gemara says, one second, Klape Laya, this last line is the all out of order. The whole concept that you leave him enough to live and you have to evaluate what he can afford to lose, that's only in Erechin. So, right. Change it. The same way we make an evaluation and leave the basics of living to a man who made an Erech, so too we make an evaluation and we leave the basics for a borrower. All right, so this is the Braisa. Amar, we just learned in that brisa, no se mito mito matzala ashir. That when you take, let's say, when the court officer grabs things from the borrower, if the borrower is a wealthy man, he leaves to him two beds and a felt mattress. So mito mito mapatzlani, and he leaves two beds and a reed mattress for a poor borrower. So Laman, what are you leaving a second bed for? One is for him and one is for his wife and his children. But then the Bryce went on to say, lo, you have to leave things for him. You don't have to leave anything for his wife, sons, and children. So why are you leaving a second bed? The halacha, you have to leave him with his basics, is you have to leave him with his basics. You don't have to leave the basics for his wife or children. So he needs two beds. A person needs two beds. What do you mean? Tarti lemali. Why do you need two beds? One is to eat on. Remember, they used to eat reclining on beds. And a second bed to sleep on. Kiddush Shmuel, you can't eat and sleep on the same bed. Shmuel taught, Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, I know how to heal all types of medical conditions. Levar Mehani class, except for the following three conditions. A person who eats a bitter date on an empty heart. A person who ties a belt of moist flax on his thighs. And a person who eats bread, and he doesn't right away walk. For Amos, it's not healthy to eat and then sit. To eat and then just go to sleep, it's not healthy. You should always exercise. So even when you eat, right after you eat, you should get up and do a little bit of exercise. The guy needs two beds. One bed to eat on and then another bed to walk to go to sleep. Because otherwise he may not do the exercise. He'll just eat and fall asleep right there. Tani Tana Kamedra of Nachman. He taught Bryce before Rav Nachman. The same way we make arrangements for a guy who made an Erech, that he's left with the basics, that's what we leave for a borrower.
Amar leis, Rav Nachman said, Hashtaz winim is avnina lei. We sell off the objects of the borrower, as Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said, after 30 days. So sidur mis avnina lei, so what are we leaving for him? So the Gemara asked, Umim is avnina lei, do we sell off all of his objects? But now the Mishnah said, Mahzir is hakar balayla, you return the pillow every night, that's a machresha bayom, you return the plow every day. You can't sell them off. So the Gemara says, Tana krim Shimon Gamliel, Tana kameh. The person who was telling this law in front of Rav Nachman was saying, Rav Shimon Gamliel says that we make arrangements for the borrower. So this is what Rav Nachman was saying. After 30 days, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, we sell the objects off. So you think that we're going to make arrangements and leave him with things? Because that's what our Mishnah said. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Omer, afla atzmo, eino ma'azir el atzloshim yom. Even to the borrower, you don't return it only for the first 30 days. But mikan ve'elach, there's nothing to return because mochem bebezin, you sell off the objects in the court. Umimai dechiyamar ki kamar Reb Shimon Gamliel zabuni legamri kamar. Who says when Reb Shimon Gamliel says you sell, it means you fully sell? Domachi kamar. This maybe he meant this. Ad shloshim yom till 30 days. Hader le be'ene, you return it mikan ve'elach after 30 days. Mehad le leman dechazi le. He returns what he needs, and you sell that which he doesn't necessarily need. In other words, let's say you took a silk coat. You can sell the silk coat and buy with the silk coat a cannabis coat and give him the cannabis coat every night. But the difference is what the lender keeps. So Gemara says, if that's what Reb Shimon Gamliel would hold, you can't say that there's any object that he doesn't need that we could sell off. So I'm Rabbi, because Abaye taught us, Reb Shimon Gamliel, and Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Akiva, Kulu Sfirlu, they all hold, call Yisrael b'nei Melachim Haim. All Jews are aristocracy. All Jews are sons of kings. They deserve the best. Reb Shimon Gamliel, it's not. Reb Shimon Gamliel, we learned in a Mishnah on Shabbos. The Mishnah says, lo asaluf, you can't carry the luf vegetable, it's muktz on Shabbos. Lo asachardel, nor mustard, because it's not food. Reb Shimon Gamliel, matzah b'luf. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, you could carry luf. Neshu machal orvin, because it's food for the ravens. Well, you could feed your animals. So he's saying that since every Jew is a prince, he's raising his own ravens. And therefore, you can carry luf. Reb Shimon also holds that Jews are princes. It's not within the Mishnah. B'nei Melachim, Sachin Shemen Vered Al Gabi Mekosein B'Shabbos. They can oint their wounds with, pearl-scented oil. On Shabbos, Shekein Darko Chlasot B'chol, because they can do it during the week also. So it's not an act that looks like healing. Reb Shimon Omer Kol Yisrael B'nei Melachim Eim. Jews are kings. Even if they don't do it during the week, they could do it on Shabbos because it's expected for them to put on this ointment. And Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva also the Jews are kings. The time we lived in a brisa, Hareisha Yenoshim Bo Elef Zuz. Let's say he owed 1,000 zuz. V'lavushitztala bas me'amana. He's wearing a very fancy cloak that's worth 100 mana. So basically, he's wearing a coat worth 10,000 zuz. Mavshitin osa mimena umalbishin osa itzla ruuyelo. So the Mishnah says we take off the fancy coat, we'll give him a plain coat, and with that difference, we'll make him pay off the loan. But tan mishim Rabbi Shmuel, tan mishim Rabbi Akiva. But we learned in a brisa from Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Kol Yisrael ruin los itzla. Every Jew is worthy to wear a 10,000 zuz. Coat, and therefore we can't take it away from the borrower. Rabbi Chananya ben Atasha Omer, Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'zach Tzitz Yisrael, V'Kachir B'Lem Torah Mitzvah, Sh'nei Mad Mechafetz L'Man Tzalko, Adil Terev Yadim. Yeah, they need help.